Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly joins us as usual as well.
Hello, everyone. Always happy to be here.
We'd like to welcome those joining us live as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate your time. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And I'm going to read our abbreviated nine principles of belief, which is customary for this service. First one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the expanded version of these principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight we are going to discuss the topic of extraterrestrial communication, courtesy of Michael Kelly, and I'm going to let him explain what he wants out of this program. Put you on the spot, didn't I?
Oh, nothing wrong with that. I'd say on the topic of extraterrestrial communication, let's focus on how they would communicate. I don't know if we have to get into copyright issues, but we had referenced a movie.
No copyright.
Yeah, recent movie Arrival, in which there's two things about it that are very interesting. The aliens are not what we would consider typical, and
humanoid.
Exactly, and the communication is very unique. So let's talk about, would it be fair to say that a place to start might be to really look at human beings to communicate with each other so that we can compare the differences?
Sure. Go for it.
So we have abstract thought and concepts, emotions, feelings, everything that we try to label with words. And it's an interesting process because words will mean different things to different people. And we have body language, two tone, all the context, subtext, etc. But all of that is also built on our references. If we didn't have the references that we have, would we communicate the same way? If we didn't have the language that we have, would we think the same way? In the movie, there's a concept of thinking in a nonlinear fashion that when somebody's immersed in that language, it actually allows them to perceive moments of the future and tie it kind of into the present for them at that moment. It's an interesting way to look at time. I don't know that language has that power, but let's take that to the next step of an extraterrestrial life form. How would they, I think the way that they would communicate would start first with how they perceive the world and what their references are. So,
right.
I mean, is it, do you think that there would be a universal standard based on logical demands of just the physical laws that we know about? Or, I mean, is it going to be, I guess, there's infinite possibility right now. We know so little about a lot of environments in such an infinite universe. And in the wider universe of a multiverse, there's potentially infinite variations of that. So I guess it's potentially possible that you would have every form of communication, every potential reality. Even squid
That's
aliens.
Possible. Yeah, that it's possible. I have a hard time with that one. But you are correct. I mean, there's certainly a universal language of mathematics in the universe, which is based on physical properties, physical laws. And it is true that language determines how you think, how one thinks. I mean, different language, you think differently depending on the language you're using. You know, and it may not be drastic, but that's where cultures come from and things like that. So, you know, I mean, we were talking about this before the program, and you were wondering why. And in my, I basically stated that I didn't see the movie Arrival because it just didn't. I saw the trailer, and I just didn't. I don't know. It just didn't strike me. Just didn't resonate. I just didn't think it was all that interesting. And you asked me why, and I said because they're. Well, I won't say exactly how I said it, but sanitary terms, I said it, they're squids or octopus type things. And you said, yeah, but they communicate with what? Ink blotches or Rorschach charts or something. Rorschach, not Rorschach.
Actually, on the species in the movie, I kind of seemed almost like they would have existed in kind of a gaseous environment, which made me think, would it be possible for life to grow in a gas giant kind of planet?
Well, that's, you never know. I mean, we live in a gaseous planet.
That's
in a way, you know.
That's true.
So, anyway, so you wonder, you know, why didn't I think that that was possible? And I always state this. I could be wrong. I always say that. I could be wrong. But here's my take. I look at the universe, and there are precedents in terms of order and the way things are done. And again, I'm going to state, I could be wrong, but to me, that type of a life form creating spaceships and extraterrestrial travel and all that, it doesn't sound reasonable to me. As I said initially, they don't have an opposable thumb, but you know, maybe they got something else. I don't know. But here's my take on it at present, and I could be wrong. But we see all kinds of movies and depictions where aliens are out to get us. Of course, that's Hollywood. And, you know, and I look at the universe, and I look at us and our own progress as a human species. And, I mean, we're a ways away from, you know, faster than light travel. Some people say it's not possible. Well, that's baloney. It is possible. I'm sorry. It's possible. And we haven't gotten there yet. And it's going to take us a while to get there. And so my personal opinion is that any species who has developed to the point of being able to travel faster than light and who hasn't killed themselves off, you know, blown themselves up, well, it takes a lot of time, and so that time allows for spiritual evolution. Mm-hmm. And so it's much like, and you know, maybe I'm just biased by Star Trek, I don't know, but but the it's basically the prime directive. It's the fact that you don't go out and harm. And so any species, in my opinion, that has advanced to the point of faster than light travel where they could even come here are not, they have grown spiritually to the point where they're not bent on taking over the planet or, you know, conquering. They're here to study us. And then they're not going to interfere. But, you know, I have mixed mm-hmm. feelings on the prime directive anyway. But, so that's my premise. And so in order to get here, they've got to at least have some kind of a form that allows them to live, to exist, to interact, to build, to communicate with one another, to advance their own technology.
Well, I'd agree. And I would say that that's likely a strong percentage of what would potentially be, and this is all just not even educated. I mean, can we agree this is probably just guessing at this point?
Well, it's all speculation
exactly.
At this point.
So I would say that just by the diversity of life that I see on this planet and the sheer immensity of the infinite, I would imagine there's perhaps an organism or a life form out there that could evolve to the point where it could go beyond its own home planet, go place to place, and be more of a nefarious, what we would perceive as nefarious, because what is right and wrong, it's what we say it is, and based on a lot of things, and that's a philosophical argument that can go down the rabbit hole, but I would say that, spoilers, so anybody that doesn't want to hear the ending of Arrival, just go ahead and mute it for about 10 seconds. Now, so the end of the movie, basically it wraps up into the species is interacting with humans because of their nonlinear thought. They realize they're going to need to work with us in the future, a couple 3,000 years. So basically they provide information and language to the human race, and it ends up unifying humanity, and it kind of brings about a lot of good things, and it really kind of is an interesting message. Again, some of it's far-fetched, but that is an interesting point that you kind of see recurring. Every time humanity comes into contact with the perhaps diversity of life in the universe, we tend to unite in these stories and these works of fiction. Perhaps we could transition. Do you think that's likely? Do you think that what would happen to the old religions, the traditional dogmas, if we were to realize that we're truly not alone?
Well, that's a good question, and that's one of the big reasons why the U.S. government and other governments, but more so the U.S. government than other governments, has basically denied any alien visitation, UFOs, anything around that, because they don't want to disclose it. They don't want to tell people, yeah, they're here, but don't worry, they're not. I mean, look, if they were going to do something, they would have done something. They're not here to hurt us. They're here to study us. I think we're probably a psychologically an interesting study. You know, they're trying to wrap their brains around human behavior, but that's why they don't want to disclose it, because they think that society would crumble, and you know, there would be looting in the streets and yada yada. And the fact is that, you know, and then religion, a big one, but a few years ago the Catholic Church has seen the writing on the wall, to use their language, has made an allowance that there could be extraterrestrial life and it would not affect the Bible or the message or blah, blah, blah. So they're at least smart. I have to give them credit for that. They've acknowledged that because they know what's coming. In fact, they already know. I mean, the Vatican knows all this stuff. They know that extraterrestrials have been here and have been here for thousands of years. So they're opening it up now, and they're doing damage control right now, before mm-hmm. it even is disclosed, before we get disclosure. And so will the world go to hell in a handbasket? No. Some people will be more affected than other people because their world view will be threatened and challenged, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, as my friend Grant Rumendunce, who's been on this program several times, says, you know, we'll probably have some stuff going on for a couple of weeks, and then life will go back to normal. And I'm pretty sure he's right. You know, we have a right to know. That's the thing that I've written about in the courses and in my writings. We have a right to know. That's written in the Principles of Belief on the expanded version that you can find on the website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. We have a right to know what is, and I want to know the truth, regardless of what that means. So we have a right to know, regardless of what the government thinks. Of course, you know, the government they're trying to protect all the sheeple, according to them, essentially. These poor, you know, lowly people who can't think for themselves and who don't know any better, they're trying to protect them. Well, it's not their job to protect us from reality. You know, we need to know the reality. So I'm going to shut up at that point. Allow somebody else to talk.
Do we? I was just about to ask. Do we still have Dr. Hunter with us?
She probably left.
Oh, I'm here. I'm listening.
Well, one point I'll make is Dr. Angie said in the chat, she referenced Jodie Foster in the movie Contact. And it makes me think, you know, we've referenced works of fiction tonight. And isn't it so interesting how fiction almost seems to be part of our very life as human beings, our evolution? It is a way that we've found to prepare our minds for potential realities, to entertain the thought so that when a potential reality might come up, we can deal with it much better. And isn't it interesting how much extraterrestrial life has kind of permeated fiction and culture in the last half century? Almost
preparing us.
But then again, who would be the they? I think it's almost a natural reaction. You know, dogs run in packs, human beings, we create fiction to prepare ourselves for future realities.
And you're right. And I got a comment on something Errol pointed out in the chat room, and he's right. He says Professor Stephen Hawking fears aliens could plunder, conquer, and colonize Earth if we contact them. And that's true. Stephen Hawking did say that and did write about that. And honestly, for as brilliant a man as he is way out of touch with human nature, come on, really? They have been here already for thousands of years. If they were going to conquer and plunder and colonize Earth, they'd have done it. It's not going to happen. And that's why I go back to my original thinking that any species who's advanced enough for faster than light travel has developed and evolved spiritually to the point where they're not out. They don't want to just conquer and mm-hmm. kill. So...
I don't know. We're a species that wants to colonize Mars, and I don't think we're very evolved.
But we haven't. We haven't evolved.
I think
to faster than light speed.
We haven't. I think we're more evolved than we give ourselves credit for.
And sometimes less.
yeah, it's not always consistent. But I will say that towards Stephen Hawking's idea, when Europeans came into contact with the New World, it wasn't exactly good for the original Aboriginal inhabitants of the New World. But it wasn't always intentional, though, was it? I mean, yes, it's absolutely true that it was just factual, devastating effect, but it wasn't always done intentionally by the people coming here. And it might be said the same could be said for somebody coming from a different planet. Not to say that it's likely, but just to entertain the thought. And Europeans, of course, were more technologically advanced than the Native Americans, but and faster than light travel is a bit more advanced than a sailboat.
Well, and Dr. Hunter can comment on this. The Native Americans were severely adversely affected by the Europeans coming over. What say you, Dr. Hunter?
Oh, I don't think white people had any regard for them at all. I think that's the majority. So, I mean, intentional or not, I just don't think they were taken back to human zoos, for God's sakes. Anybody who wasn't white and European was fit to be in a zoo. So there were the odd individual who was a little more open-minded, but anybody who wasn't white European was lesser on the human scale. So that's...
Yeah, and that's terrible. But let's bring that. I mean, it was. I have even a hard time contemplating, but bring it back now into the context of extraterrestrials, and I think they know that.
I think maybe they have a zoo.
People do disappear.
I don't. Know.
I will say,
you know,
too many outer limits.
I will just say this last thing. The thing that tries to give me hope even when things start to turn dark is even in those moments where the predominant opinion amongst the European colonizers was that the native inhabitants had lesser life or were savages, there were still people in that world that could see beyond it and that had attained a level of awareness. There weren't always many. Sometimes there were more, but... It was something that we had to fight and strive for. I will say it is ironic that with the story, this is going to be going off topic, it's the last I'll say, but the story with Thanksgiving, people often like to tie in how it later led to horrible things. It is important to note that the actual people that actually had that first dinner, they had very peaceful relations with those native peoples their entire lives. unfortunately, their descendants didn't have the same wisdom or kindness that they did. But it's important to note that even in those dark times, the light of human kindness and human virtue was there. And it was there in the suffering caused, it shined even brighter, and it was there in so far as that not all of the Europeans were such heartless people, and it was there in the perseverance of those being oppressed. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
So in the area of extraterrestrial communication, you know, there's some things to be noted, and obviously SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, has been going on for decades. And I mean, aside from the WOW signal that came, when was it, back in the 70s, 80s, somewhere near, aside from that one, to our knowledge, we haven't received any radio communication. I am not 100% clear on why that would be, and it's very possible that radio and TV signals just peter out after so long. I don't know for sure, but that's all I can think of, because obviously if there were other civilizations that had TV radio type stuff, you know, back a million years ago, I mean, well, we would be getting those transmissions from a million light years away, right? They were sent out a million years ago, and we're not getting anything. So I don't know what the reason is. There's got to be some reason, but I can't believe that we're the only planet in this universe that has TV and radio. And I'll tell you why. And this is rather encouraging. This is inspiring, in fact. If you think about it, I mean, what is this, 2018, right? About 100 years ago, the Milky Way galaxy was the whole universe to science at that time. Somewhere it was Percival Lowell, wasn't it, it was Hubble, one of them, I think it was Lowell, wasn't it, that did the redshift, that discovered he discovered other galaxies, or was it Hubble? Man, I'm just confused on that one right now, but one of the two did. And so anyway, about 100 years ago, the Milky Way was the universe. And then they discovered the Andromeda Cluster. Well, what would that turn out to be? The Andromeda Galaxy, our nearest galactic neighbor. And then other galaxies were discovered. And then fast forward, now you're into the 70s and 80s and right in there. I mean, the 80s, even to the early 90s. And, you know, the idea, I mean, we had no knowledge of any planet outside of our solar system, even as late as the early 90s. And to even go after them was almost a death sentence if you were a scientist, because it was not looked upon with favor in the scientific community. But there were yet a few rogue scientists who kept searching for them, and finally they found them. And now it's the end thing. Right now we've discovered thousands of exoplanets outside of our solar system. Not only that, the Hubble Space Telescope has been amazing. It has advanced our understanding of the universe by essentially light years, if you will. I mean, the ultra deep field. I mean, one little tiny spot in the sky that was blank, and it's been likened to looking at a penny from about 70 feet away. That's the size of the piece of sky that they focused the Hubble telescope on. I think it was for 10 days. It could be wrong, but if it was for an extended period of time. And what did they find? You know, that little tiny piece of sky, 10,000 galaxies. It's beyond belief. It's amazing. And so, you know, in the documentaries I watch all the time, I mean, until the last, I probably was only been in the, within the last year up till that time, you know, they figured there was about a billion galaxies in the universe. Now they're saying 2 trillion, and they don't know if the universe is infinite or not. They don't know that. We can only see back so far 13.7 billion light years or so, somewhere in there. So we don't know what's the observable universe, but 2 trillion galaxies. Think about that. And each one has on average 100 billion stars. Holy crap. That's like, and then they wonder, is there life in the universe? It's like, and I was telling you this earlier, you know, people people. Yes, the universe is teeming with life. It's everywhere in all kinds of forms. You know, it's like we're standing in front of Mount Everest and we're all looking at it, and the scientific community is saying, oh, no, there's no mountain there. And we're saying, what are you talking about? It's right there. Oh, no, we can't prove it yet. You know, well, give me a break. The universe is literally teeming with life. Is it on every single planet? Not necessarily, and probably not. But it's all over the place, and there can be all kinds of forms of it, bacterial, you know, lower life forms, and then there's the advanced life form. There has to be. It would be absolutely beyond stupid to think we're it in an observable universe of 2 trillion galaxies. Okay, I'm done on my high horse. Nothing?
Well, I think it's stupid to think that we're alone in the universe as well. So I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. But I wonder if time and the sheer vastness of it doesn't make contact between said life rarer than we perhaps would think. Because you're talking about, you know, microscopic life that might be out in the universe. Well, on this planet, at one point in its existence, there was nothing but microscopic life. So I think, is it perhaps just in the sheer vastness of time that sentient species will perhaps just miss each other? Just be in the wrong epochs?
I don't know.
Well, I hope not.
Let's talk about another type of extraterrestrial communication for a few minutes, and then we'll move on to pulling cards for those who would like to have a card pulled. So if you want a card pulled, start putting your name in the chat room, and then we'll get to it. The other type of extraterrestrial communication would be psychic communication. And Dr. Hunter, this is an opportunity for you to come through and shine.
Well, I think that the biggest thing that holds people back is communicating with language. And if you can imagine to communicate with no words, then you can imagine a world of impression and sensitivity. Impressions and sensitivity translate universally. Michael was alluding to that at the very beginning. Psychic impressions are much that way. It's without words. It's with pictures, feelings, you know, smells. And we all communicate in all these ways all the time. And I don't think that it's any different with ETs. I have a bit of a different view. I see intergalactic as pretty much it, not just extraterrestrial. I think extraterrestrial, as Dr. Kelly has pointed out in previous conversations, that extraterrestrial means this dimension of space-time in our galaxy. I think nearly all other advanced life forms are intergalactic, traveling
you mean
through space.
Interdimensional?
Yeah, they're, exactly.
Intergalactic would be between galaxies,
okay,
which is
so,
true. But yeah, I think you're referring to interdimensional.
And space-time, folds
right.
And blends and moving and so on. I think we all communicate with spirits and extraterrestrials, for lack of better choice of words, the same way we do with each other. We're just occupied with this dimension of space-time and our language. And if we don't hear it, see it, feel it in a language, then we're missing our intuitive impressions. And so I think, boy, other life forms have been communicating with us that way forever. And I think everybody has some degree of it. I know there's lots of people who, you know, stand up and raise their flag to say, oh, I talk to ETs. And, you know, I've talked to a few myself, but to me it's like, so what? The frequencies are different, and that's why this is where we go between an opinion based on a subjective experience versus what's factually and can be proved and repeated. And most of this discussion previous has been on where are the facts, you know, where's the concrete evidence. But at the same time, we're all speculating with a subjective view that they do exist. So then it's everything in between, all these other layers of, well, what if this, what if that, and what if this. But in my experience, it's they're there, they're here, and always will be, and we're still creating our own reality. So I think that nearly all our communication with non-human bodied entities are psychic. So,
yeah. Well, you know, the world's religions are all pretty much founded on extraterrestrial communication, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, even interdimensional, and the way you're talking too. So, it's a theme that has been recurrent in human history from eons ago, millennia ago. It's fascinating. So, you know, the bottom line is that we are advancing by leaps and bounds in our scientific understanding and our knowledge of the solar system and the extended universe. We are. And it's a thrilling time to be alive because science has just blossomed. Astrophysics has just come to life over the last 20, 30 years. And it's continuing. We're learning so much. And it's exciting. And the fact is that, you know, UFOs are here. I mean, aliens are here. Is every sighting somebody has an extraterrestrial craft? No. There's lots of stuff the governments have got that are pretty fantastic, too. So just because you see something you can't explain in the sky does not automatically mean it's extraterrestrial. We have to still be reasonable about it. But they are here. There's been too many credible reports by credible people, airline pilots, police officers, and others, that you just can't dismiss them. There's just too many. But there's not a gazillion, but there are a number of them. And so, yeah, they're here. But think about it, people. We live on a planet where everything eats everything else. We live on a planet that is consumed by tribal warfare. We live on a planet where the people would rather build weapons to kill each other than they would rather spend the money to make sure everybody has a home and clothing and food. You know, we allow children to die and other people to be homeless while we spend money on killing each other. That's where we're at. Now, is everybody in the human race that way? Of course not. No. There's a lot of people, lots and lots and lots of people who are not that way. Unfortunately, the powers that be are that way. That's just what it is right now. We're trying to evolve past that. And I think we're getting there. Just obviously not as fast as I would like. But the fact is that the UFOs are here. They've been studying us for a long time and trying to figure out and probably seeing correlations from their own prehistory, you know, their own past, where they didn't kill each other. They were able to evolve past the harming one another phase. And I think we'll get there. I mean, think about it. The things we find entertaining are murder mysteries and war movies and movies about people hurting people. You know, we don't get as intrigued, you know, when there's some really nice movie about how somebody helps somebody else. Yes, they're there and occasionally, but, you know, we live in a funky world. And they're here to study us, but they're here. They're benevolent. They're not hurting anybody. And as far as abductions go, that's probably a controversial subject that not like what's promoted. It's just not. And it's very controversial, and I'm not going to take the time to get into that on this program. But did we catch everything? Any questions in the chat that we need to address?
Yeah, you know, I would like to recommend to people to watch Unacknowledged on Netflix. It's the latest Stephen Greer production, and it's really educational, very insightful, sincere, informative, and he sheds a lot of light on things in a very revealing way. So, Unacknowledged, and I know it's available on Netflix. It's worth the time to give it a watch.
I'll have to watch that myself.
Yep.
And just as a final comment, I don't know if you were going to say something, but Edward mentioned the news article about the former, or the USA, oh, maybe I'm not thinking of some U.S. Navy pilot admitted to seeing UFOs during his career. It was reminding me of the one that Michael had sent me on the 2004 when two Navy pilots were chasing a UFO, and there's a video online about it. I think Vicky told me about it too. So, anyway.
And I just like to say that it, not tonight perhaps, but at some point I would love to talk about how alien life would perhaps, by which I just mean anything not to this planet, would, what does death mean to them? What is their next stage? Is it the same as ours? Does moving into that level of self-awareness change that for things, or interesting subjects to go in?
Interesting. So, all right, well, let's do our card pulls. And again, if you want a card, make sure your name's in there. We'll pull those cards, and then we'll start to wrap up the program.
Well, I think I saw Jeff's name up there first, and then Fran. So I'll go ahead and grab one here for you, Jeff. Continuity of life, number 16. That's in the existential suit. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There's reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. That's pretty good. I think that's a good message. Yeah, there we go. So maybe, Michael, maybe you'd like to get one for Fran.
Absolutely. And Fran actually said two times for her, so I'll draw one, then perhaps you could draw another.
No, no, she's talking about the movie.
Oh, two times for I see your chat.
Yeah, sorry, but you're talking about Unacknowledged, and she said that she's seen it, and I said I've watched it three times. She said two times for her. So
oh,
there
good. I apologize, I'd missed that.
I misunderstood that, too.
Yeah, there we go. Fran,
but,
a card for Fran.
Well, this is one of my, well, they're all fantastic, but this is essentially – especially important now. It's wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships within families or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others.
And that's a message for Fran. Yeah.
And if we did that more often, maybe the extraterrestrials would talk to us more often.
Maybe.
Yeah,
other than scratch their heads wondering what the heck we're thinking.
I've got a card here for Dr. Angie. Number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. So I think that's just a little reminder. We know that you know who you are, Dr. Angie, but just that little reminder of, hey, I'm moving forward in my direction. There we go.
Good card. So very good. We appreciate everybody's tuning in tonight and taking your time with us. And we got a suggestion by Brandy, one of our students, to perhaps consider some metaphysical parenting topics on some of the programs, if not each of the programs. So, and we think that's a good idea. The unfortunate part is it's such a wide, broad area that we're not quite sure what to tackle first. So if you would like to hear more about metaphysical parenting topics, send us an email, admin@icmhchurch.org, or if you're a student, just use whatever email you use to contact us with, and it'll get here. But if you would like specific age group, you know, specific challenge you might be facing, that would help us to narrow the field a little bit and to be a little more specific on the advice we give. And, of course, most of the topics we talk about on this program can be adapted for children. They should be taught these things. I mean, we talked about self-esteem, self-acceptance, not hating. We talked about respecting other people, not trying to control other people, change other people. But all those things are certainly valid for children as well. So, at any rate, I think that's all we got for tonight. Any comments from Dr. Hunter or Michael before I close out?
No, and I want to go talk to aliens now. So,
good. Well, can I come? Any comments, well, sir?
I'd like to very much know what the truth of existence is.
Well,
good
I don't
luck
know.
With that, Michael.
Not a tall one.
When you figure it out, let us know.
I'm planning on it.
All right. In a couple of weeks, we'll have a guest to talk about auras and healing and that sort of thing. That's in a couple of weeks. But until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thanks for being with us. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.